Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howdy, hour number two, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Admittedly, a little distracted today as we keep almost like that little accident on the side of the road. What's that? Who's lining up the putt? Who's on the tee box? Who's in the fairway? Who made a bogey? Who made a par? Who just got an eagle? By the way, you brought up Mike Weir before.
Yeah.
He missed that 2-foot eagle.
Get out of here.
He walked out of the room.
Oh, wow.
He missed it. And it kind of slid by a little more than you wanted to. I don't know that it was a tap and birdie. But this is a fun weekend. It's a fun weekend. Although, I submit. Let's get a little hoops here. Let's transition to the NBA. I don't know if people would even care. If they would even be inclined to agree with me, if they did have a strong opinion on the matter. Either way, I think it's a disservice this first round to stretch this best out of seven.
Yeah.
It's boring.
You know, it's funny. I was having this conversation, BT, at the Final Four with it was now. It's slipped my mind, but he's a former NBA player.
Was he on our show?
No, he's a TNT analyst. I'm forgetting which
Kenny
one
Smith?
It is. Not Kenny Smith. It's not Kenny or Chuck.
Dennis Scott?
No.
3D?
No.
See what? Greg Anthony's out there. I'm thinking about I'm thinking about the NBA
play
TV.
For the Pistons.
Isaiah Thomas?
No. God, Dumars
not on TV.
Can't believe I can't remember.
Stackhouse is the coach now.
But anyways, we were having the same conversation. It'll pop in my head.
I got you.
And because he said the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
He says it's too long for series that are probably easily decided.
They're over before you walk to midcourt to have the opening tap.
Exactly. Now,
except for maybe two of them.
He was interesting because he was telling me this probably goes back to the early 90s, mid-90s, when he was playing for the Pistons, and they beat the Bulls on the road. So best of five then.
Yep.
So they beat the Bulls on the road game one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they beat them again on the road, I mean, Bulls might be eliminated from the postseason. And all of a sudden, it's like, what the heck? This is Michael Jordan, right? This is in the midst of...
I wish I knew who the heck you were talking about.
Why am I forgetting his name? No, I can't remember. It'll pop in my head.
Gotcha.
It'll pop in my head in a second. But he said the game too. He was like, I lost all faith in the game because it was like two quick fouls right away, and all of a sudden, you know, the Bulls, they win game two, then they win game three, and the Bulls go on to do what the Bulls do.
We've got a ratings issue up here with the Detroit Pistons, Chicago Bulls,
exactly.
On the mothership.
But it's funny.
Start calling fouls.
It's funny because NBA players think the same thing. That notwithstanding. You agree because it's foregone conclusion. You know what I mean? It's like, what do we need to see someone get swept in four games when you could do it in three?
It's boring.
Right.
Now, that doesn't say this is not a couple of interesting series, which you and I will really start getting into. But this just came across Luke Walton out. No surprise.
Yeah, no.
Luke Walton's out, and he has, he was kind of improperly positioned. He had 2 years to go on his deal. Mm-hmm. Second year's not guaranteed.
Yeah.
So Luke's got the one, and then he's obviously going to get every penny there. The second year is not a guarantee. So
what do you think he does?
I'll tell you what I think he might do.
UCLA?
No.
No, it's
Sacramento
already done.
Kings.
Ooh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I would make that move. See, I think that Luke Walton has taken the silver bullet for a franchise's inability to really show any sort of acumen in building a team. And I thought Luke Walton did about as good of a job as you could do. I'm not saying he's a great coach.
Yeah.
But, you know, Luke Walton, the way Luke Walton was kicked around by most of the national media, social media, even though that doesn't matter as much. But Luke Walton did a pretty decent job when LeBron James was healthy and engaged. And, you know, I think Luke Walton, number one, he's buddies with Vlade Divac, who just won that. I know you were out yesterday.
Yep.
I touched on this. Vlade won the battle of power, and it was in inbounds, out of bounds with Yaker, so he's gone. I don't know if Luke would do it, but I would be pretty sure that even if it's just a cursory conversation, that it's already occurred between the Kings and some of Walton's representation. It would not surprise me at all.
That's interesting.
What's the other route you want to go? Think about this. If you're the Kings and you're going to hire a new coach, what direction are you going right now? You want to get somebody with some experience.
Of course.
You have a young team for sure. You don't want to take a chance. You don't want to roll the dice on somebody that's unproven.
Here's the only thing you worry about. Mm-hmm. Is Luke Walton – how is Luke Walton's brand holding up with young players? You know, if you're a GM, you're an executive, and you see him come in with LeBron, or LeBron comes in, and almost immediately you start to hear, I don't know, bad stories or negative stories, and Magic's trying to fire him after, you know, 5 weeks, and you know, he just barely is hanging on because Genie loves him, you know, apparently. And so if you're a new team accepting him, is he the right guy? You know what I mean? Are you listening to Luke Walton? That's the only thing you're worried about. It's not fair to Luke Walton, obviously, because I do think he's a heck of a coach. I just think it's impossible to coach LeBron James if you're not a LeBron James guy.
Yeah, and you're not at LeBron's campus, and you know, you're not embedded with them. And you know, I understand that, but I would say because the Kings are still a year or two away from winning big, big.
Yeah, but you don't want to get caught in that cycle. You know what I mean?
True, but they have enough players. This is just a guess on my part. I believe they have enough players on their roster that, based on where they are in their contracts, I don't know that they have much of a choice other than to listen to Luke Walton.
Yeah,
I don't think that Luke Walton will command the respect on the free agent market. Like, if Luke Walton was coach of the Knicks, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think Kevin Durant, I think it would be a bit of a different dynamic.
Yeah.
But Luke Walton coaching a young, ascending, pretty interesting Sacramento Kings team would be good. And I don't know if he's going to get the job. I'm just throwing it out there. We just got the news that he got fired, so I'm kind of processing this in real time. I'll give you another name. And again, every time he comes up, I have to pray. I love him. I don't know what happened with the Warriors, but can you imagine Sacramento? What is Sacramento? Probably about 30-ish, 35, 40 miles north of San Francisco-ish, right in that area.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if Mark Jackson had a chance to start with the Sacramento Kings as the Warriors are beginning to lose their luster? Kevin Durant hops out. Klay Thompson's 30. You know, and Steph's suddenly not a kid anymore. Draymond Green, contractual decision down the road. If I'm Mark Jackson,
you're right,
I'm saying, get me that job so I could stick it to the team that probably unjustly fired me.
That's interesting. Yeah, I would agree with you. Why not? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So that just came down. Let me look at it this way. Of the eight series here, well, I'm going to actually start with this. How many teams do you believe can truly win the NBA championship this year? How many?
Three.
That's my number as well.
Yeah.
You go on the Rockets, Warriors, and Bucks?
Yeah. Now, I'd probably say four then. I forget the Rockets. They always jump out of my mind because I think one out of the Western Conference. I always say Golden State, and that's it, out of the Western Conference. But I do think the Rockets could do it. So I'm going to say four. Golden State, the Rockets out of the West. I think the Bucks and maybe the Toronto Raptors out of the East. Only because of Kawhi. Mm-hmm. Kawhi's a stud.
I know.
He's taking maintenance days, and so the record is he should be healthy. He should be fresh. He should be ready to go.
He missed 22 games this year.
Yeah,
I think it was
exactly. But
he should be ready.
At least half of those, probably more than half of those, were just let's just chill.
No doubt. Out. No doubt about it. Smart by the Raptors.
I agree. So I'm going to give the Raptors a chance. It's a small one,
just
but
can't
I
can't look. Okay, no, fair enough. And boy, I've championed the Raptors for years on this show. I can't do it now. I can't do it. I can't do it this year. I can't. I just don't feel that way.
I hear you.
You know what I mean?
I hear you.
Warriors will dust the Clippers. I think the Rockets and the Jazz, I said this yesterday, Teak, I think that's a tough series. I think it's got some depth. I definitely see Utah winning. I have them winning two. I've got the Rockets in six. You know, I think the Thunder, you talk about pressure. I know we don't associate pressure with winning the first round, but, I mean, Russell Westbrook's got to win a first-round series without Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
And he's got to.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't want to hear about these triple-doubles every year. It's going to start annoying me.
I don't disagree
with
you.
Start winning some playoff games without your boy KD.
But the thing is, can he? So the problem is when he gets into that moment, these moments, these big moments, he reverts to who he always was, and that's just not winning basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Paul George is the guy there. He's the star there right now. He's a scorer. He's the difference maker. But right now they're stuck in this weird place with former MVP, who's averaging a triple-double. He's obviously as dynamic a player as there is in the NBA, but you can't win if he's the guy. And so I hear you. I just don't trust him. I don't, and therefore I don't trust what Oklahoma City's going to do in the playoffs.
I mean, how do we sit here and say that we really think the 76ers, I know they got a load of talent, but that the 76ers are, that you feel confident that they're beginning a two-month journey, mm-hmm. and all that encompasses, where ultimately you know you have to win a critical road game, a game six, a swing game. Is Embiid might not even play game one of round one.
Yeah.
Are we sure that he's going to be there in the Eastern Conference semis or the Eastern Conference finals or the NBA finals? I just can't push the Sixers through with any sort of conviction. I can't. Although I can't quite do it for the Celtics, I could generate some more enthusiasm, or belief is a better word, that the Celtics can do it more so than Philly. Certainly the Bucks. I've got three, though. I've got the Warriors, the Rockets, and the Bucks mm-hmm. as three teams that I think could win it.
Yeah.
And maybe the Celtics about to throw a little asterisk in there.
Look, the Bucks held on to the top seed, won over 60 games without two really important players, Malcolm Brogdon. And Nikola Mirotic, who has had a hand injury or thumb or something like that, which he should be back in the first round. If they get right, mm-hmm. like healthy, mm-hmm. and then therefore deep, then they can compete with anybody.
Well, this is where they get really lucky, because this is by far, unless you're a Bucks fan, this is going to be the worst series of all of them. I mean, yeah. The Detroit Pistons, I said yesterday that if there were 16 Pistons in the NBA playoffs, I wouldn't watch one second.
Yeah.
It's the most uninspiring. You know, and I'm not trying to pound on, you know, I got love for Detroit, but the Pistons are the kind of team that, you know, what's the upside? You're not going to win the series. If you stun the Bucks, there's no chance it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You're not going to win the next series. So if you're a Pistons fan, you know, and you're sitting there and you're looking at your future. Yeah, all right, you got Blake. But wouldn't you rather have a draft pick this year?
Yeah.
I know that it's fun to watch the playoff game and get ready for it, but it ends pretty quick when you're an eight seed. It doesn't go into May.
I hear you.
You know what I mean?
100%. By the way, it was Steve Smith.
Steve Smith.
It was the second round. It was the semifinal round, because it used to be, the first two rounds used to be a best of five.
Yep.
When he was with the Hawks. And they lost to Chicago. They beat him in game one, then lost the next four.
The Knicks swept them, too.
Yeah.
That's when he was on that Hawks team when they had Dikembe Mutombo. Mm-hmm. That was not the Ewing. Although Ewing was on the team, he was banged up. But you had Marcus Camby, Spree, and Houston in that crop.
Yeah.
I believe that. I think Leitner they had to play the George Tech too. Dome or something, because they were doing something with the arena, I think.
Leitner was on that
Christian
team.
Christian Leitner.
We had
Leitner. He's a trip, isn't he?
He's
awesome. An interesting cat. We had him at the Final Four.
He has that I don't give a you know what.
Oh, he's definitely got an edge to him.
About him.
No, it's I love talking awesome. To him. He's got a real chip. So let's throw this out there. I've got Teak's got four, and you had to kind of convince yourself a little bit to squeeze that fourth team in there, right?
Right. And that's the Raptors. And a lot of it's just because I mean, I believe it because of Kawhi.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
But
I'm not going to argue
with
that.
A lot of things got to happen with Kawhi for them to actually get it done.
Okay, I've got three. How many teams do you think could actually win it? 855-212-4227. Possibility for your biggest upset. Which higher seed do you think is most vulnerable? And who do you think has the most pressure? I mean, could it be the Warriors? Could it be Steph? Pardon me, could it be Russell Westbrook, and you know, and even the Luke Walton stuff, a couple of coaching dynamics for the Kings through Mark Jackson out there. What do you do if you're Vlade Divac? Let's talk some hoops. We'll open it up for you, and then we'll get the football at the 40s. 1-855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Some folks like to shop in a store, while others prefer to do their shopping online. But no matter how you like to shop, when it comes to auto parts, shop at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They have everything you need under one roof, virtual or otherwise. From batteries, brakes, and belts to filters, transmissions, ignitions, and shocks, O'Reilly has it all. They even have a full range of farm and agriculture heavy-duty parts, tools, and supplies. They have thousands of parts and accessories in stock, and with brands you trust, like Wagner Brakes, Monroe Shocks, Superstar Batteries, Wix Filters, and more. They can even get those hard-to-find parts, most with free overnight delivery, or you can shop online with free pickup in-store. And car lovers love to shop at O'Reilly Auto Parts as well. Now you can earn O'Rewards points online and at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. In fact, you can earn points any way you shop at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You'll get a $5 reward for every 150 points you earn. Visit O'Rewards.com and become an O'Reilly O'Rewards member today.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way to save money, switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. It's getting a little later here on the East Coast, so some of you might be jumping in your car wondering what's up with Tiger. I'll give you a quick update before we get back to the phones, do some NBA here on 1-855-212-4227, as I said. All right, Tiger through eight holes today, two birds, two bogeys, even on the day, minus two on the event. He's tied for 19th. And suddenly, and there was a lot of volatility early as we described it, now suddenly you're getting a little congestion up top. You got Molinari, minus seven. He's a world-class player. He's got a major. Mm-hmm. Jason Day's back is holding up. We know how good he is when he's healthy. He's minus seven. Brooks Koepka is minus one on the day. He's finished. He shot a 71. He's minus seven. And then at minus six, you've got Dustin Johnson, Justin Harding, and Ian Poulter, John Rahm. You got names everywhere.
Yeah, you do. Rory just eagled, I believe.
Oh, he hit that putt?
Yeah,
okay.
He did. So he's way back still.
All right.
He's got a long way to go. He's only through seven, but he's got a long way to catch up.
What is he at for the event?
Plus
he's plus one.
Yeah.
He's minus one for the event.
Now he's minus one.
Minus one. Oh, that's right. The two-shot swing.
Yep.
Hey, he's minus one. He's only one shot behind Tiger,
yeah,
who's tied for 20th. So Rory's still chasing that career grand slam. All right, Teek, let's get some hoops calls. Who has the pressure? How many teams you think can really, truly win the NBA championship? And I wonder, by the way, some people might call and say one, Golden State. I know the aura is eroded a little bit, but
right. They're
still pretty good when they're locked in. Okay, let's go to Philadelphia. First up, Sixers are getting ready to play the Nets, of course. And Rick, I don't know if he's a Sixers fan, but he's on Teeky and Tierney. What's up, Rick?
What's up, fellas?
Hey.
No, I'm a New Yorker, so I'm a Knicks fan. But
attaboy.
Hopefully this offseason is going to hit some goals finally. To me, I think you got to include OKC. Obviously, I'm going to include the top four in the East.
Include them for what? To win a championship?
Come on, Rick.
Yeah. What? I do. I think they're loaded enough, and I think they got enough depth and talent to get out of the East. And then, obviously, in the West, you included Houston, Golden State. And I'm going to put OKC in there. Guys, I think the path for OKC is set up perfectly, barring Paul George's shoulder. Here.
Shoulder, yeah.
I think now Golden State, with that shot that PG hit, he got him out of that bracket, meeting Golden State in the second round. So I think Houston and the Warriors are going to beat each other up. And I think you're sitting pretty there is going to be OKC. They should be able to handle business in the first round against Portland, obviously take care of San Antonio or Denver, whoever comes out of that series. By the time they get to that Western Conference Finals, I think they're going to be loaded and ready, pent up, to take out anybody that comes up. Because think about it. They're a matchup nightmare. Obviously, they've struggled down the stretch, but...
Well, they won their last five.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, so they didn't struggle.
Overall, throughout the season...
Yeah, you're talking about... Yeah, there was a segment where they really struggled. And
no
they,
question.
They couldn't win.
But that he said finish this way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the added dimension of Dennis Schroeder, who's been lights out, gives him another weapon. So when you took it in that, Adams is a matchup nightmare.
No, we got you. I love him. I love him from his days at Pitt.
He should be in that mix.
Listen, yeah. Rick, Teek, thanks for
I got to tell you, that three-pointer, the point in case you guys missed this a few days ago,
mm-hmm.
Paul George hit a left wing three-pointer or left baseline three-pointer that just the game winner, buzzer beater. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But he's right. It set them up playoff-wise to not have to go through the Warriors early,
mm-hmm.
which, I mean, they still – my problem is not that. My problem is I don't trust
them.
Them.
I agree with you.
Right?
Rick, it's funny because as Rick is laying this out,
it makes sense.
Every point was a good one.
Absolutely, it was.
They avoid this team, then this team. They beat each other up, and then they advance, and then they're – like, it was sound logic. It was actually
no
a very
doubt.
Smart call. You could tell he's a basketball fan.
You're right.
I just don't think they're good enough to win the championship.
Yeah.
And I know that that's a blanket offsetting statement there. And, you know, I guess the way I would quantify that is they're just far too erratic. Look at their regular season.
You're right.
Yeah, that's enough for me. Plus, do you really trust? I guess it comes down to your belief in Russell Westbrook.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe that Russell Westbrook, and assuming that Paul George's shoulder is healthy, as Rick brought up, if you think that Westbrook is capable of playing not just explosive, highlight-inducing basketball for the next couple of the months, but sound and efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't. That's where my disconnect with Russell Westbrook lies. I don't trust him over the course of 2 months or a month straight. I trust him when he's on. I'll always trust him, but I don't trust him enough to say that. Let's get Sean, who's in Maryland. Sean is on Teeky and Tierney. What's up, Sean? How you doing today?
What's up, you guys? How you doing? I want to say you both look swaggy today.
Thank you.
I
appreciate it.
Feel kind of swag. I got to be honest with you. Feel swag.
I'm dressed for an airplane.
there we go. I mean, that's a certain type of swag. You know what I'm saying?
True.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Well, as far as the playoffs go, for me, if we're being honest, I think it's just the Warriors and the Bucks. The Bucks and the East. The East is actually kind of hard because you got the Bucks, you got the Raptors, you got the 76ers.
Yep.
I think it's just the Warriors. I don't know if they can be taken down.
You don't like Houston at all, Sean?
Houston's good. Houston's good, but I just think that in a 7-game series, like I don't know. In Oracle, I don't know if Houston could go in and get those wins.
Yeah, I mean, but they're vulnerable this year. It feels like, you know, that could just be. Appreciate your call, Sean.
Good call.
Could just be regular season
swaggy
doldrums.
I'll take the swag.
I like the swag.
Swaggy's good. Cool.
I feel like it.
Swaggy's good. I feel good.
The doldrums, they're just tired. They're bored of playing in the regular season, the Golden State Warriors. And the aura that they used to have at home, it's just, I mean, whatever. It doesn't matter to them. They got home court throughout the postseason, so that's really all that matters for them. I think they're going to hit a level that we didn't see all season, but reminds us of previous postseasons.
I don't disagree with that. Although, I don't know. I think there's going to be at least two or three shows over the next 2 months where you and I come in and we have a serious conversation about, oof, what's up with the Warriors? Yeah. Are the Warriors going to be able to get past this? Yeah. I believe ultimately they will, but I don't think it's going to be uninterrupted. Well, I think they'll get knocked around a little bit.
Look, the deeper conversation is because this happened during the regular season that everybody was talking about is – look, the homeostasis that exists with the Golden State Warriors isn't really there right now.
You looked at you sounded like a professor. Just the way you said it. Like,
but they got it. Think about it. It was like, we are all kumbaya here, right? KD wants to win championships. Steph is Steph. Clay is Clay.
Steph's ankle rolled the other night.
Draymond.
Kevin Durant might be bouncing.
Right. But
Draymond can't shoot.
Draymond was in his role. I'm talking about previous.
No, I know.
Right? But then this year, like, all of these questions start popping up.
Yep.
Like, Draymond's hating on KD because he knows that KD is going to bounce, and then you bring in Boogie, and that's just an added complication. And Steve Kerr.
Has it really been a complication on
no,
Boogie?
No, he hasn't been. I'm just talking about the talk around him. And Steve Kerr, you know, are guys listening to him? The message is getting confused.
Do they have enough depth?
Are we chilling? Are we not? Well, right? Yeah, exactly. Do they have the depth? Like, all of those conversations were legitimate during the regular season. But this team is just too damn good to let those things disrupt them from winning another championship.
I tend to agree.
So when you're in idle time in the middle of the year and you're in November and December and January and February and you're like, okay, we're going to win 70% of our games this month. What else is going on? Oh, you're going to leave? Let's create some drama.
They're not locked in during to your point.
This year they're going to be locked in. Uh-huh. So all those things, I'm not discounting all those things that happened because I think it did happen.
Sure.
Right? The beef over what KD's going to do. And, you know, you're not buying into us. You're not committed to us long term. At the end of the day, when you get to the postseason, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
I want to ring, right? And we want to go deep again and create a legacy for all of us. That goes away. It happened, but I think it goes away in the postseason.
I don't disagree with that. Lamont's in Arkansas, and Lamont is on Tiki and Tierney. Lamont, what's happening? How are you, man?
Yes, just fine, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
First of all, I want to say this.
I do believe the Houston Rockets are going to beat the Golden State Warriors if they meet in the playoffs, period. I really believe they're going to do it.
Why so confident this year?
Well, look, they beat them three times out of four this year. And, I mean, I've watched most of those regular season games.
Yeah.
You know, several of those games, the Warriors were fully staffed, so they didn't have any excuses for losing, you know, other than the fact that they lost. And I just believe that, you know, the Warriors are afraid of James Harden. They're afraid of CP3.
No, they're not. They're not afraid of CP3.
They're afraid of Clint Capella. They're afraid of Austin Rivers.
They may not know how to deal with Clint Capella.
You're making stuff up now.
Yeah, they may not know how to deal with some of those things. I don't think they're afraid of them.
They're not.
I don't think they're afraid of anybody. And I think even if, and we appreciate you calling them
up,
but I think that even if they were like nervous about them, they still think that they're better.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'll give Houston a puncher's chance, but I still think that it's Golden State in the West.
And listen, there's going to be fluctuations. I said before that there's going to be, three, maybe it's two, maybe it's four. There's going to be times Teak and I come in, do our show over the next 2 months here en route to the finals, you know, middle of June and the culmination of the season. And we have a real, you know, got to sit on the couch and put the Warriors, you know, it's got to get to the root of their, what ails them psychologically. There will be some issues with them because they're just, there's attrition, the league's gotten better, their style's no longer foreign, guys can, you know, teams can build to react to them in terms of personnel, which they have. So there's a lot of things, there's variables that will make this pursuit as tough a pursuit as they've had so far during their championship run.
Agreed.
But that's going to apply to other teams as well. We're going to come in here someday saying, man, what the hell's wrong with Kyrie? Man, what the heck happened with the Denver Nuggets?
Something we've been saying all season long with Kyrie and Boston.
Yeah. I mean, or we're going to come in here and say that about the Rockets when the Utah Jazz beat them once or twice.
Denver hasn't been there yet. So, you know what I mean?
Are they the I almost don't want to say this out of disrespect to Denver, but are they the weakest two seed we've seen in a while? I surmise they could be. I mean, I really surmise.
Maybe the Hawks in 2016.
Talking about the Western Conference.
Western Conference?
But yes, that's a good call. They're the four All-Stars. Yep. Kyle Korver, yep. Al Horford. That's a really good call. That team blends into the woodwork of they won 60. That's a great call. I was thinking specifically Western Conference, which has been really powerful for a while. It's just they feel like a flimsy two seed. And maybe that's my bad. Maybe they're flimsy in my eyes because they haven't built up that reputation yet.
Yeah, you're right.
And that happens. Until you fully buy in and believe in somebody, there's the period that you go through where you need to be convinced. They need – the onus is on the Nuggets. The onus isn't on you and I to get on the air and say, well, we believe in the Nuggets. The onus is on the Denver Nuggets to show the basketball world, much of whom has been doubting them the entire season, we are legitimately a number two seed. You know, I don't think they'll have much of an issue with the Spurs. They just don't shoot threes well enough for my taste. But they get to that next round, if it's Russell Westbrook, even if it's Portland, it's going to be a tough one for them.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough. Yeah. You know? Ack, how we doing? Any good news with Tiger lately? I know we got a bogey about 15 minutes ago.
You know, he's one under through nine.
So he's minus two on the event.
Three.
Okay. Okay.
He was two under yesterday.
That's right.
So he's hanging in there.
Top 20? It was he's been pushed out of the top 20.
He is 15?
Yeah.
We'll take 15. The rest of the leaderboard, master style, ACK update right now.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
The world's best buy for the coveted green jacket. Don't miss highlights tonight and full coverage tomorrow and Sunday. A tradition unlike any other. The Masters on CBS. Can't wait for that. By the way, Tiger, great bounce back. He had bogeyed and right back, and he hit a bomb. Drained about a 30-footer for a bird. So Tiger's back to minus three. Obviously, keep an eye on this. The leaderboard is stacked. A high-profile list of players getting ready to surge into the weekend. So all eyeballs on CBS, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Definitely will be. Woj is not quite dropping a bomb, but he is saying that Ty Lue is the front runner for the new Lakers position.
Okay.
Don't know if I love it, but that's what Woj is saying. We'll follow up on this. We'll get some more information.
We will. My initial reaction before we hit the football at the 40s on that is, I mean, he's a good coach. I don't know that he's great, but he does have the ability to check LeBron.
Yeah.
And you need that at this stage. LeBron is no longer young enough or dominant enough. I know his stats say one thing, but night-to-night impact is a little diminished compared to what it was a couple years back, certainly defensively.
Yep.
The head coach is going to have to. You're getting to the phase now, like Jeter at the end or A-Rod at the end or Peyton Manning at the end with the cult, where things start to diminish and you need the right voice to check an icon. And I think that's something Ty Lue is comfortable doing. And more importantly, I think LeBron's pretty receptive to that. I think he gets that aspect of it.
Yeah, I think you're right. We'll find out soon enough.
Okay. Football at the 40s. Let's go. Good one today.
40-yard kick.
Love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Tiki, everybody remembers the story of Reuben Foster. Well, we got an update here. This just came out a little bit ago. Today, the NFL notified Reuben Foster. This is an official statement from the league office here. of the Washington Redskins that he's going to be fined two game checks following a review of recent incidents and an assessment of his adherence to the obligations arising from previous violations of league policy. So he will be ready to play. Yeah. He'll be a little lighter in the wallet, but Reuben Foster's going to play some football soon.
Look, he is off the commissioner's exempt list, and unlike a lot of these other domestic violence issues that have popped up over the last couple of years, he avoids any suspension at all. I thought the two game checks was commiserate with not playing two games. Mm-hmm. It means he's just fine two game checks, even though he will be available to play. And this may actually be a lightening of the stance by the commissioner in pushing guys who are in trouble and are suspended out, right? You're not allowed to be at the team facility. You got to go be, you know, figure it out, whether it's, you know, where you're living, what you're doing, et cetera, away from the team. It's starting to change a little bit. And I think it's smart for the NFL to do that, because when you push them out, you just open up the door for more bad influences to fill that void. So surprising, but I think in the long run, it'll be good for Reuben Foster and, more importantly, good for the Washington Redskins, who gambled correctly in signing him last year. Not that I agree with this, it just is what it is.
You know, it is what it is, and we have to react to what it is. And, you know, listen, the Redskins are a team that, you know, I mean, it's been a circus for a long time. It's been somewhat stabilized with Jay Gruden, at least in terms of the coaching turnstiles that usually pop through that franchise. But there's still there's a scent coming from the Redskins that's tough to digest, that not many people like or respect. But you do have to be fair, and they were crushed, maybe a little more so because they are the Redskins, when they put the claim in for Reuben, brought him in, and it's worked out. I mean, so I don't know if they're fully exonerated. I think there are some people who still will hold it against them because they think Reuben Foster is fully guilty no matter what.
Yep.
But he's been exonerated by the NFL player to a large degree here outside of the monetary hit, and you got to take back some of the criticisms you had for the Redskins, right?
Yeah, a little bit. But you still listen to the 911 call from Eliza Ennis, who was his girlfriend. I don't know if they're still together or what. This is her quote. Quote, he took my phone, broke it, and slapped me in the face. That was the second incident, which she subsequently kind of recanted, just like she did the first one, or didn't cooperate or whatever it may be. Who knows what the hell is really going on?
I don't know. You know, you hear stuff like that, and you just hope, and you will never know whether it's her or any other woman, I guess, or man, you know, it could certainly happen too, right. I guess. But you just hope that the recanting of these incidents, that they're not done, because if that happens, then, you know, they lose money's out the door, and it changes that. You hope the motivation is because it's the truth, is what I'm trying to say. All right, what's the truth with the Raiders and Derek Carr? I don't know. I mean, every time they issue a statement on Derek Carr, it kind of wavers all over the map. He's a franchise quarterback. We believe that. That's one quote. He's our franchise quarterback. Let me make that clear. That was John Gruden back in February. Then Gruden said, I'm glad he's our quarterback. And then last month he said, yeah, he's going to be our quarterback. It's like the little degrees of support, if you really search for it, kind of chipped away now.
Yeah.
And now we get a sense that they might be looking for a quarterback going into the draft here.
At the end of the day, what we absolutely know for a fact is Derek Carr wasn't drafted by John Gruden. Therefore, we don't know if he is John Gruden's type of quarterback. I think John could work with anyone, but we obviously heard all the discontent last year, whether it was on the sideline or reports from in the locker room, not on game day. Dwayne Haskins is who they're think about selecting, but Kyler Murray, if he's available at four, John Gruden has already expressed his interest and desire in. Now, at the end of the day, this could just be posturing. John Gruden is as good of a manipulator of the situation as anybody in the game. And he, obviously with all those first round and second round draft picks, they could want more. And so if someone really wants one of those guys, come up and get them and give us your assets, and we'll gladly give that draft pick to you. So this could be posturing as well. It's almost impossible to know the situation.
We'll know when draft night's over. That's when we'll otherwise, who the heck knows?
Otherwise, I am literally just guessing.
True, as am I. But I tell you what, I like, a lot was made of the way they exchanged heated conversations last year. I actually think John Gruden likes that.
I do too.
He's got a little Parcells in him. Phil Sims would give it back to
Brad
him.
Johnson was Vinny that kind of guy.
Brad Johnson,
because
well,
he was an old head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, look, I know this as well as you do. I'm almost your age at that time.
Yeah. All right, Tink, the NFL Players Association have added 11 helmets to their joint list of approved equipment for 2019 while eliminating a grace period for other models that have fallen short in lab testing. Engineers and executives representing both groups said they said this today. So by the end of last season, there were basically 32 players that were wearing helmets that are now banned. And this needs to be the natural progression for to prevent head trauma.
Yeah.
Have smart people probe and examine and come up and tweak and but fix and modify, and hopefully it's safer.
It's interesting because you would think that the NFL should just say, this is the safest helmet. You all will wear this helmet, period. And that's it. But guys like Tom Brady, who is one of these 32 that wears the Riddell helmet still, I think that's the one that I wore back in the day, just has a comfort level with it, whether it's the weight or the design or whatever it may be. He's been comfortable with it for most of his career. The NFL has now banned that one, and he will have to switch to a different one. It should be about safety, but guys have routines, and
yep.
they're quirky like that. And it's helmet I wore when I made it in college, and so now I'm going to keep it. It's hard to debate them on that, mm-hmm. but if the NFL is serious about making that repeated head trauma or eliminating it from the game, they need to find the safest one and institute it and make it blanket.
I would not have an issue, and hockey went through this. Craig McTavish, for whatever reason, jumps out where players, you didn't have to wear a helmet in the NHL
yeah,
for long.
That's right.
I mean, if you were grandfathered, actually at one point, nope, a lot of guys didn't, most
yeah.
didn't, then some did. But if you were grandfathered in as they implemented the new rules for safety, you didn't have to wear a helmet.
That's right.
I wouldn't mind seeing it. The NFL can't get away with this because it's the NFL. And it's 2019, not the 90s when this was happening
yep.
in the NHL, the transition and grandfathering these guys in. But I wouldn't fundamentally have an issue that if you wore a certain and you're grandfathered in, you can finish out your career. I would not have a problem with that because guys know the risk that they're taking.
Yep.
And if you still want to trot out of that tunnel with a helmet that you know you feel comfortable with or you had in college or you hadn't won a Super Bowl with, you're a grown man. You know the risks.
Right.
You know, but it's probably the more prudent decision. But I wanted to bring up the NHL comparison. Yeah. Very different, obviously.
Very, very different.
Speaking of Tom Brady, he's going to lose a receiver here. And Chris Hogan, one-year deal with the Carolina Panthers. Mm-hmm. You know, listen, Chris Hogan is certainly not a star. Chris Hogan's had a couple of interesting moments. Asked the fans out in Buffalo.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that was ridiculous. He was a lacrosse background at Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
You and I had him on the show when he first started to become a solid NFL player. Good guy, local guy from Jersey. We were supposed to play golf with him. It never came to fruition. But I actually like this signing for the Panthers.
Yeah,
I do.
Look, they have DJ Moore there, who we all remember from a year ago. Torrey Smith is there, Curtis Samuel. So they have this desire. Because of Cam Newton's previous iteration as the Carolina Panthers quarterback, which was drop back, find deep passes downfield, whether it was Funchess or whoever
Teddy
it was.
Teddy Ginn for a little bit.
Teddy Ginn, and he took a pounding, right?
Yep.
So it's been a deliberate process by the Carolina Panthers to draft these smaller DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel,
mm-hmm.
you know, intermittent route runners, Christian McCaffrey out of the backfield so that Cam gets the ball out of his hands quicker. Chris Hogan fits what they're trying to do
perfectly.
A one-year deal, he has to prove himself. He's 30 years old, so it's not like he's going to aim for a 8-year, 7-year deal or something like that. But it's a place where he can really shine, I think. So I think it's smart for him.
Yeah, nothing to add. I think you nailed it. Good stuff. Our buddy Sean Payton had an interview, and as you would imagine, he was asked about his future with the New Orleans Saints. This was on WWL in New Orleans. You hear all the rumblings. Mm-hmm. And we've heard this now for a couple. We've asked Sean about this.
Yeah.
Some rumblings about there's always a connection with Dallas. We know his background there. We know his background with the Giants. There's always a thought at some point Sean's going to bounce. Maybe when Drew Brees retires, whatever. But here's the quote. It's my 13th year, guys. I don't know how else to answer this. I feel like it's every other year. It's on the odd number year, so 2019 comes up, and then we'll hear it again in 2021. But it looks like Sean Payton, at least for now, and not surprisingly,
yeah.
he's committed to stick with
the
Saints.
I think he is. He's been there for a long time, 13 years to be exact. But this comes up because the Dallas Cowboys did not offer Jason Garrett a contract extension. And so you always now people are assuming, oh, this is it for Jason Garrett. Who could be next? Well, when you look at the coaching trees out there that have ties to the Dallas Cowboys. Sean Payton is one. I know he has a residence in Dallas. He obviously was there as an assistant under Bill Parcells. But he also says, I've been in New Orleans for a long time. I have Florida Lees that are tattooed on my body.
Does he really?
So I can't get rid of those. So I don't think he's going anywhere in the short term.
And
probably out of respect to his buddy, Jason Garrett. He's probably not going to comment on that until and if it ever happens.
Until his introductory press conference next to the Dallas Star.
Seriously. He won't comment on that until he is the Dallas Cowboys coach because it's not fair to him, the Saints, and his buddy with the Dallas Cowboys.
Agreed.
That was Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
By the way, quick shout-out. I don't know that you shout-out condolences, but legendary Packer offensive lineman legend Forrest Gregg passed away at the age of 85. How about this quote from the great Vince Lombardi, who once called him the best player I ever coached. So, great life, 85, great champion. Rest in peace, big man.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.